We probably all at one point or another received a recall on our car. How many of you have received recalls on your? Pretty many. I got one a couple of weeks ago for an electrical system. Took 4 hours. I didn't notice anything wrong with the car, but they said if I didn't get it fixed that there was a chance the car could catch fire. So I took it in, I sat there for 4 hours, and they fixed, allegedly, the electrical problem. It's a manufacturer's recall. I got the best email. You know, I get emails from all over the place, mostly to do with politics and the church. But I got a great one today from Ellen Wiley, and I wanted to read this to you. It was too good not to. And it's about a recall, manufacturer's recall. If you've heard this before, bear with me. I'm sure there's some people, I haven't read it before. The maker of all human beings, God, is recalling all units manufactured regardless of make or year due to a serious defect in the primary and central component of the heart. This is due to a malfunction in the original prototype units codenamed Adam and Eve, resulting in the reproduction of the same defect in all subsequent units. This defect has been identified as subsequential internal non-morality, commonly known as sin. It is primarily expressed in, number one, a loss of direction, number two, foul vocal emissions, three, amnesia of origin, four, lack of peace and joy, five, selfish and violent behavior, six, depression or confusion, seven, fearfulness, eight, idolatry, nine, rebellion. The manufacturer, who is neither liable nor at fault for this defect, is providing factory authorized repair and service free of charge to correct this defect. The repair technician, Jesus, has most graciously offered to bear the entire burden of the staggering cost of these repairs. There is no additional fee required. The number to call for repair in all areas is PRAYER. Once connected, please upload your burden of sin through the repentance procedure. Next, download atonement for the repair technician, Jesus, into the heart component. No matter how big or small the sin defect, Jesus will replace it with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Please see the operating manual, the BIBLE, best instructions before leaving Earth, for further details on the use of these fixes. Warning, continuing to operate the human being unit without correction voids any manufacturer's warranties, exposing the unit to dangers and problems too numerous to list, and will result in the human being being permanently impounded. For free emergency service, call on Jesus. Danger. The human being units not responding to this recall action will have to be scrapped in the furnace. The sin defect will not be permitted to enter heaven so as to prevent contamination of that facility. Thank you for your attention. God. P.S. Please assist where possible by notifying others of this important recall notice. You may contact the Father anytime by K-N-E-E mail. I thought that was good. Because it sort of summarizes in a humorous way what our condition is. That we are born into this world with our hearts broken, and that we need fixing, every one of us. That none of us, as Isaiah said, is righteous, no, not one. That we all, like sheep, have gone astray, each one of us to our own way. And that God has laid upon him, the Messiah, the iniquity of us all. Every Sunday, at a certain point in the service, we say what are known as the comfortable words, which are just what they're called, words that we're supposed to draw comfort from, assuring us of God's love for us, I grew up in a church that, and it could have been my fault, but I don't think it was. I went a lot of Sundays, and I never, ever was told that God loved me. I mean, really loved me. Not just the sort of love when somebody stands up and says, I love you all, but that he loves me personally because he knows me. I've been made in his image. And that he knew me from the foundation of the world. That's incredible. When that thought first dawned on me in January of 1973, I remember thinking, this is amazing. The God who created the universe, the God who created everything that is, knows who I am. He not only knows who I am, but he loves me. And he loves me in spite of everything that's wrong with me. We say a little bit later in the service, we have the what is known as the summary of the law. Jesus was asked, which were the most important commandments? And he said, the first one is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. That we have to know that there is a God. There is a creator of the universe. There is a supreme being to whom we are accountable. And the second one is this, to love your neighbor as yourself. And part of the problem, I think, with a lot of people is that we don't really love ourselves because we know what we're really like and we don't like what we see. The message of Scripture is that God loves us despite the truth of our corruption and our sinfulness and our own unlovability. He loves us in spite of all those things. It's kind of like how you feel about a misbehaving child. You love the child, even though the child is not doing what he or she is supposed to do. You nevertheless love the child because the child is yours. I feel that way about my bad golden retriever. I thought about that the other day. You know, I was sitting there looking at him. I've had this dog for almost 10 years. He is the worst, the most badly behaved animal I have ever owned. And yet all he has to do is look at me with those eyes. There's something about a golden retriever's eyes. I don't know what it is. And I just love him. I don't care what he does or doesn't do, what he chews up. I love him because I love him. Well, God's love for us is like that, only it's so much greater than any kind of love that we can even begin to conceive. In our passage this morning from 1 John, John uses the expression, God is love. And he is. But as C.S. Lewis reminds us, God is love, but love is not God. That love is one of the greatest attributes of God. But God is more than that. And God's love is more than what we normally think of as love. Human love is usually based on certain conditions. I love my dog because he loves me. You love your children or you love your spouse because that love is reciprocated. But while we were yet sinners, God loved us and sent his son to die for us. When we were alienated and estranged and hostile towards him, when we were cursing his name, when we wanted nothing to do with him, he still loved us with an incredible, overwhelming love that we cannot begin to comprehend. It is the sort of love, as John says in the passage we read, that casts out all fear. It's his perfect love. It's knowing that in him, in the person of Jesus, we are perfectly and completely and totally and forever accepted and forgiven, vindicated and declared righteous in his sight. We can rejoice in that and rest in that. And that fact removes any dread, any fear, any prospect of judgment. That's what Paul is able to say. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away and all have become new. That there is therefore now no condemnation, no judgment, no thought of punishment for those who are in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and the law of death. That should fill each of us with a great sense of joy and peace, and should make us want to celebrate, which is what we're going to do in a few minutes. We will celebrate together what God has done for us because He loved us so much. I think it's one of the hardest things to try to convince people that God really loves them the way they are, and that all that they have to do to come into that love and to rest in that relationship is to acknowledge who Jesus is. That once we confess, as we read this morning, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. That's all it takes. We don't have to clean up our act. We don't have to reach some level of perfection. We don't have to work to reach a status of acceptability in God's sight. He takes us just as we are. That's why I love that Billy Graham hymn, which we need to sing more often. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. He takes each of us exactly the way we are, and then he begins to transform us into the image of his Son. That process comes after we are first embraced by that perfect love. Someone has said, God catches the fish and then he cleans it. So we don't have to do anything in order to experience that love and that forgiveness and the security that comes from knowing that our sins are forgiven. All we have to do is to confess who Jesus is and what he's done for us. Nobody told me that. I'm telling you that this morning. So that if there's anyone here who's never done that, who has any doubt at all, and doubts are okay, by the way. God knows our doubts. I love the prayer of the man, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. He's given to each of us that measure of faith that we can respond and call upon his name. We don't have to understand all of the complexities of Scripture. We don't have to clear up all of the mysteries and answer all of the unanswered questions, and there are loads of them. We simply have to come in that simple confession, Lord, I believe, help mine unbelief. If any of us here this morning don't know that love, if any of us doubt that God loves us, if we've never experienced that love, if fear is in any way paralyzing us, and fear, by the way, is the antithesis of faith, it's the opposite of faith. Faith is receiving something that we haven't seen, but yet we believe is true. It's embracing it by affirming in our hearts that, yes, we can't see, but yet we believe. It's the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And the Lord wants us to have that, I am convinced, this morning. That we will be able, maybe for the first time, some of us this morning, to come to this table and to know that our sins have been forgiven and that we are abiding in that perfect love, and that love will not leave us. You know, Jesus said, all that the Father has given me, I've lost not one. That it's not his will that any should perish, but all should come to a knowledge of the truth. That's his desire for each and every one of us today. And my prayer for all of us here this morning is that we would receive that perfect love, that love that casts out all fear. Let's pray for that. Father, I pray this morning for all of us here, every single person in this room, that by your Holy Spirit you would enter into each of our hearts, and that you would enable us to get a glimpse of the love that you have for us, that you would show us that love, that you accept us where we are because we are accepted in your Son Jesus, who has paid the price for us. Help us, Lord, to receive that by faith, to call upon his name, and to experience at a deep level that peace that passes all understanding and that perfect love that casts out all fear. Amen.